736 700 WLW, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. We're at Long Neck Sports Grill and Wilder. Lance McAllister along with Rocky Boyman. Rock, our next guest is going to pick up the Home Depot National Coach of the Year Award later tonight on ESPN. His program, the only unbeaten in the country out of 130 schools, and they will play Alabama on December 31st in the college football playoffs. I will let you do the honors, Rock.
How about this? The one and only Coach Luke Fickell. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I caught your commercial there with Big Lou. I'm not sure I'm going to be calling him, but
he's on number two, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's on number two. I'm not sure my wife wants that, but she's listening. But I got a good chuckle.
Coach, you've given us great radio stuff to play for a long time. Thank you for that. Coach, when you obviously such a tough road this season to accomplish what you guys had to accomplish, the games you had to win, as you look back at all the challenges, the many challenges you had to overcome, what was the toughest one?
Well, I think it's our own challenges. It's the ability to, you know, stay focused. And I don't mean like talk like a coach, but to avoid what everybody else wants you to do. And, you know, and that could mean a lot of different things. You know, we had some high-end guys that had incredible expectations individually, and maybe it doesn't happen the way they expected individually. And the biggest challenge was us able to stay together when, you know, things were happening different for different people. And, you know, to me, there's a million games and situations that happen, but none greater than, you know, the ability for, you know, all those guys to truly not overly worry about the individual things, and whether it's the number of touches, the number of touchdowns, the number of completions, the number of sacks, the number of tackles, to not worry about that and just stay focused, you know, on the team and finding ways to win. And to me, going into the season, I thought that might be our greatest obstacle. As we got into the season, I realized it was our greatest obstacle. But that's the thing that the guys did the best job of.
And, Coach, part of that, there's a classic line in the movie Hoosiers before the state championship game. One of the players says, let's win this for all the small schools that never had a chance to get here. You never made this about carrying the flag for the conference or the group of five. And that was very important, wasn't it?
It was. And I, you know, selfishly speaking, didn't want to put more on our guys' plates. They were already hearing and they know enough. But I also don't want to, you know, kind of single out who is smaller and who is bigger. We tried to, from the day we walked in, tried to say it doesn't matter. You know, it's not the best team that wins. It's the team that plays the best. And just because somebody is technically better than you because, you know, they're bigger, they have more money, or they have more stars, it doesn't mean they're going to be better on that Saturday the way they play together.
Coach, just in terms of this year, what was unique for you guys was the expectations were so high coming in. You go back, we were talking earlier, the 2009 team, the expectations weren't as high, so they could kind of just let it rip a little bit. Tell us just how real was it week in, week in, out, you know, day in, day out, dealing with those expectations being so high?
You know, I think I noticed it in camp. You were out there for a day, and I felt like even the pressure amongst the guys was a little bit greater. Camp wasn't, you know, it's always hard, it's always tough, and especially out of higher ground. But it wasn't as free. It wasn't as, you know, I don't want to say competitive because it's always competitive with our guys, but it just had a different tone and feel to it. And I think from the get-go, we did have a little bit more attention on our play. We had an expectation the year before after being in the championship game of getting back. But I just think in general, there was some other heavy, you know, kind of pressure or expectations that we applied to ourselves individually and as a team that caused us maybe, you know, some issues and some obstacles that we had never had to deal with before.
In the final second Saturday night, you bear hugged Des Ritter and then you bear hugged him again. Tell us what it meant to have him not just as your quarterback but as the leader and really the ambassador of that program.
Well, I mean, he has been it. I've said it all year, and I don't always like to single out the quarterback, but let's be honest, I mean, it has so much to do with the quarterback in this game. And I said it early in the year, the Desmond Ritter factor, and I try not to say too many things to put too much pressure upon him, but the way he handled it, the way he, you know, went about his business when we had some, and I'll say ups and downs, but I mean, even guys that, you know, get frustrated with what they're doing and how they're doing, and maybe the way they're playing, you know, we always had him to turn to as a guy that, you know, was going to pick it up, whether he was great or he wasn't great. But he never changed. He was steady about what it is he did, about how he went about his business, his attitude, so humble. And I don't ever, you know, probably thank him or congratulate him or give him enough, so to speak, credit from, you know, from me and from our program. And that was just one of those times where things I've wanted to do for quite a while, and especially all year, it felt nice with 10 seconds. It wasn't until 10 seconds left that I was ready to kind of give him a bear hug and maybe dump a bucket of water on him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Speaking of never changing, you were hired 5 years ago tomorrow, and I remember vividly you said that day that the biggest thing you had learned in your time as in that season as head coach at Ohio State was to be who you are. I would think it's safe to say that has served you well, and you've been able to do that here, haven't you?
I have tried, and I'm pretty lucky to have a rock at home that when I start to drift from maybe who I am, that I get knocked right upside the head and reminded really often or whenever needed about who you are and why you got into this and what's the purpose. And I mean that in a way that, like, you know, you come home frustrated with, you know, this guy doesn't do this and this guy, oh my goodness, I'm not sure we can, and, you know, you're reminded of what is your purpose? What did you say you do this for? And, you know, so I remind our team all year about be us, be who we are. And it's not just to remind them, but it's also to remind myself as well as all the coaches.
I would imagine you've had a conversation with Marcus Freeman over the last week or so. I would think that call had to be between two of the guys happiest for each other, maybe more so than any call in the history of phone calls.
You know what? And it's crazy that we haven't had a chance to speak for, you know, a period of time. Our wives have. My wife, I think, talked with him. We've texted. It's just been kind of crazy and on the run, and was really kind of hoping and planning on this weekend having a chance to really kind of catch up and spend a little bit of time at some near moment here, hopefully real soon.
We know you're going to pick up the Home Depot National Coach of the Year Award coming up here in a bit on ESPN. Is Kobe Bryant going to win that Thorpe Award?
Oh, man, I that's more of what I'm sitting on my seat about because, you know, I don't care about individual awards, you guys know.
And, yep, right.
You know, especially for myself of any sort, but for what he has done, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not even big on the individual awards for our guys, but for this one in particular, for, you know, where he's come from in the sense of even last year to where he is now and how he's handled his business, and especially with his counterpart Ahmad, who obviously gets a ton of attention, for him to do what he did and to be selected in this final three, goodness sakes, I will give everything to see him get this opportunity, especially if he could get this this award tonight.
Coach, we know we can only imagine how swamped you are. It means a great deal. You have carved out a few minutes to grab the phone and join us tonight. We both appreciate it. We enjoyed the conversation. Best of luck going forward.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. And, Rocky, remember, you're more than welcome. We're not changing. We'll be out at Higher Ground there in the summer again, and you're more than welcome anytime.
I'll be there. Me and my son will be there, Coach. Write it down.
Got
it. Look forward to it. Yep.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Your best,
right,
Coach. Thanks.
Yep.
All right. There you go. Luke Fickell checking in. That's very cool. We certainly appreciate UC making that happen. And he is he's in the middle of – he's got bowl prep, although they're not practicing right now because of the finals. But he's got the award show tonight. He's got to be on Zoom in about 25 minutes or so. He's got National Signing Day, that early signing period that takes place,
yeah.
And he's been recruiting. So the fact he just carved out 10 minutes, very, very cool.
I thought real quick, I mean, one of his answers I thought was really unique was just the fact that, you know, the concept of team and what we want to accomplish, but still realizing that on a team of good players, guys have individual goals. They want to lead the team in sacks. They want to become all-conference. They want to go to the NFL. And sometimes when that isn't happening, that might be his most impressive job is taking a guy like Myjai Sanders, who maybe didn't get all the numbers he wanted, but still, you know, helping, you know, him realize how important he is to the team and keeping all that together and the focus. I thought that was a good answer and the tough things he had, one of the many tough things he has to do.
And I really appreciate what he said about Des Ridder and probably not telling him enough how much and thanking him enough for
that.
You know, and I had Jim Kelly on the other night, and he said something that hit me and I hadn't thought of. And this year, Luke, a little ways into the season, on his weekly press conference on Mondays, he turned over the second half of it to Des Ridder. Luke would get up, and Des would sit down and address the media. And Jim Kelly made it a point to say Luke would get up and he would leave because he trusted Des so much to speak for the program. He says, can you imagine other coaches letting their quarterback speak each week? Can you imagine them not at least standing there monitoring, saying, cutting off a question or whatever? Luke just, he turned it over because of how much trust and respect he has and understanding of Des Ridder to just go do his stuff while Des did his thing. And that speaks volumes.
Awesome. Yeah.
Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll do the Mercy Health Minute on the other side of this and talk a little more Bengals and NFL. He's Rocky. I'm Lance. Furniture Fair Roundtable Show. Long Neck Sports Grill and Wilder, presented by your Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Honda dealers. 700 WLW.